Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We are joined by Mark Labuie, a very courageous and thoughtful contributor to the defense of the free world, is the way I think of it, in Canada. He is the founder and director of a terrific online resource, The Tipping Point, or in French, Point de Bascule, based in Montreal. He has been closely following for a long time the challenges that his country is facing, some of which are not only of import for us, but of late have actually emanated from this country. We wanted to talk to him about a recent terrorist incident in Edmonton, Canada, and what Islamists are doing in its aftermath to further restrict freedom of speech in particular in Canada. Mark Labuie, it is so good to have you back, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with this incident in which a number of people were killed in Edmonton back on September 30th, Mark. We've not spoken since then. How did it come about? Who perpetrated it? And as best we can tell, why?
Well, there was an attack on September 30th of this year, and basically the police constable, Mike Chernik, was hit and stabbed by 30-year-old Abdul Sharif, who then hit four other pedestrians with a rental truck in a police chase. Basically, what the police discovered, they confirmed the presence of an ISIS flag in the van that rammed the police officer. This is a very rare instance where a terrorist came to Canada via the United States rather than the other way around. Just for a reminder, there was the case recently in 2006 of El Banassi, who was arrested in 2016 after traveling from Canada to New Jersey to carry out a terrorist attack. He was targeting concert venues, subway stations, Times Square. And then just recently, you might remember, it was also Amour Touhi, a Tunisian, a Montrealer of Tunisian extraction, who crossed the border, went to Detroit at the small Detroit airport and Michigan airport, and stab a police officer in the neck several times. And then there was a famous Millennium Bomber who was caught just luckily by the Border Patrol, who his name is Ahmed Ressam, who was also from Montreal again.
But what do we know about this chap?
Well, what's amazing is this guy, a 30-year-old Somali national. What basically happens is he crossed the Mexican border undocumented, and then ICE, the immigration, caught him. They detained him for 4 months in order to deport him. And this was in 2011. He was then released in 2011 again with what they call an order of suspension. And then in January 2012, ICE lost track of him. And he subsequently crossed the Canadian border. And then he requested refugee status. And to my understanding, he got his refugee status. So there's a huge issue with this guy about the vetting process, because he went through two checkpoints. On one side, ICE did their job, and maybe there hasn't been enough communication or whatever happened with the refugee status. But this definitely brings up a case where if maybe this individual was not caught at the Mexican border, would he have done a terror attack inside the United States? That would be a question that would be worthy. There's been, because of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, invited right after the U.S. election, the Trump administration, Justin Trudeau basically sent out a tweet inviting all the refugees to come into Canada. I'm not using his words, but basically that's how it's understood. And many, many people responded to the call. So the Quebec border in particular has been heavily one of the most intensely busy border where many refugees, but claimants to refugee status has gone through. They say that it's been almost just this year alone, over 10,000 of them. Many of them were Haitian, but a huge proportion of them were also from the Middle East or North Africa. Now, what we heard is that, according to the Canadian press, under the Obama administration, they allowed American visas to be issued via the U.S. Embassy in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia in order for these people to go through the United States and cross over to Canada. And then we know just recently in Quebec alone that in the last 6 months, I believe, there's been almost 43,000 immigrants. These are registered. We're not even talking necessarily of immigrants or undocumented. 43,000 for a population of 8 million people would mean for the United States, it's as if in 6 months, there would be in the United States 1,720,000 people that would have entered the United States in 6 months.
A significant impact in all kinds of senses, economic, political, as well as perhaps security. And Mark Labuie, you were telling me something interesting a moment ago about how the Islamists in Canada have responded to this act of jihad by this Somali expatriate by doubling down on their effort to suppress freedom of speech that might give offense to Muslims in Canada. Can you talk a little bit about that? And again, we're interested in this because it seems as though it's a kind of canary in the mineshaft moment for us here in the United States as we face efforts in this country to suppress our freedoms, our constitutionally guaranteed freedom of expression.
Absolutely. And also the constitutionally guaranteed freedom as well in Canada. So basically these, I'm being told it's not the right term, but it's almost as if the best description would be we're using sublegal structures in a certain way. So there's all these non-official people nominated to run these like agencies, and they're using their powers to be able to erode our freedoms and the freedom of speech in particular. They're using these human rights commissions, or the most recent case was in the Toronto School Board, which basically they published a guide, which is about 170 pages long. And they have a critical definition of Islamophobia that they wanted to get approved by the board. And it has two, by the way, it has two versions, because right after they received tremendous pressure to pull out that definition, they subsequently changed it to the one that was defined by the Ontario School Board. But this one was the first definition was replaced after Islamophobia included the fear of Islamic politics. So imagine the notion of fear of Islamic politics. If you express that, if you criticize that, it would be perceived as something that could be, you would be penalized if you would express those fears.
And we've actually seen people in Canada like Mark Stein and Ezra Levant actually subjected to this kind of prosecution. So this is not an abstract concern. And Mark Labuie, as you sit there now, to what extent would you argue that the kinds of pressure that you're under, whether it's from these refugees or asylum seekers or people simply coming in illegally across our borders, as well as what is being done to suppress the freedom of speech in Canada, is really engineering a kind of fundamental transformation of Canada, to coin a phrase?
Well, some people are literally talking about population replacement. And I mean, when we're looking at the numbers at one point or another, numbers do represent quality.
Quantity has a quality all its own, as I think Stalin once said. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I think when people are looking at Europe, we're seeing the problems that even caused Brexit, one has to maybe see Canada as if it was a European country, it might be worse than what's happening in Germany.
We have to leave it at that for the moment, Mark Labuie. I'm so sorry. We are hard out of time, but this is an entry point into a much longer conversation about what is really a lesson for all of us about what's happening north of our border. I appreciate so much your clarity as well as your courage in discussing these issues at Point de Bascule, Tipping Point. It is of such importance, and we appreciate your time as well. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again soon.